This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Richard Dolan, and we're speculating on what the government may or may not know, what private industry may or may not know about UFOs, about a breakaway civilization, and is there this alternate, more advanced space program out there? You know, in theory, we kind of let things die after we went to the moon. We never had that intense effort anymore. Is it possible that on the QT we colonize the moon and more?
Yeah, I'll tell you a couple of thoughts that I have on this. One is something that I've repeated now a number of times in some other interviews. Just a conversation I had, gosh, about a decade ago with Russell Targ, who, along with Hal Puthoff, created the remote viewing program at Stanford Research Institute, initiated by the CIA back in the day. And Russell, on one occasion, said to me, this is a nearly verbatim conversation, he said, Richard, back in the early 1980s, one of my tasks was to train remote viewers at Fort Meade, Maryland, whose job was to remote view the far side of the moon. There was a bit of a pause, and I said, well, why would they do that, Russell? And he said, why do you think? Another pause, and I said, well, were they looking for E.T. on the moon? He said, yes. He actually didn't say maybe, he didn't say no. He said, yes, they were going to look for E.T. on the moon. I said, well, did they find E.T. on the far side of the moon? He said, that wasn't part of my job, and he didn't tell me, and I think he said something like, I wasn't informed of it, or I can't tell you if I knew, or something like that. And I believe him. I believe that he was telling me the truth about this. That's step one. That means in the early 80s, we had, in the military, reason to believe that there were beings on the far side of the moon. That's pretty interesting to me. Now you have a number of other allegations that have come out over the years about individuals back in the 1960s and 70s seeing directly, seeing images of structures on the far side of the moon. A woman named Donna Hare speaking to NASA personnel and astronauts who she said told her directly about such structures. There's a lot of these types of stories that have come out over the years, quite a few. You've got the Apollo stories. I happen to credit the one that was told by Timothy Good, relating to a very close friend of his, who said she overheard a conversation with Neil Armstrong at a party where Armstrong was asked by this PhD what really happened on the moon, you know, the kind of question we would all like to ask. And Armstrong supposedly said, according to this woman who overheard, yes, there are structures, there are menacing craft, you know, things of this particular sort. You have Buzz Aldrin making a couple of really loose cannon tape statements over the course of his career. On one occasion saying that we were followed on the way to the moon, then backtracking, saying, oh, no, it was something we objected. Didn't sound very convincing. And he's made other statements. I think when you look at this entire scenario, that there's a very strong case that we've been, that there's something on the backside of the moon. And furthermore, I'm currently working a source, retired NASA, high-level, prominent man, who basically made, he explicitly made the statement that every single NASA mission that was from Mercury right up till today has been monitored by what we would call UFOs. So that there's something important going on here. There's an enormous part of our reality that's basically being hidden from us. And if you've got breakaway civilization technology, which I can explain what I mean by that, but I think that that means we have the ability to go off world. I think that means that we have capabilities covertly that are vastly beyond what our official civilization has. And this is not illogical, frankly, not illogical at all.
All right, let's look at this and the implications. So here, wouldn't it be better from a public relations standpoint to show our space program to be more developed than it is?
Not if the implications are so revolutionary for your society that it turns the whole structure of power upside down. Because if you tell the world, oh, yeah, we got these black triangles that can go off planet, you can't be a little bit pregnant and you can't a little bit disclose the reality of this. You just can't do it. If you're going to talk about it, you have to go all the way in. And that's just too dramatic. This is why The Secret started when it did back in the 1940s, when the implications became obvious. Because a 10-year-old child seeing a black triangle or any object that instantly accelerates is going to realize that they're not using gasoline to move around. They're going to understand this. In other words, implicit within the answer to the UFO propulsion mystery is a post-petroleum future. Now, that's could be a great thing for humanity, but that's really not a good thing for those people who are running the global structure of power right now.
In our pockets for $3+ a gallon.
That's right. And an entire financial global infrastructure that is reliant on the petrodollar, by the way, which is why the U.S. is at war with Russia right now. So that whole petroleum paradigm, from their point of view, there's no way they ever want to take that down. And, you know, back in 1950, by the way, to them, it seemed like there was enough oil to last forever anyway. You know, by 1950 levels of consumption, it would have been no problem. We're at a point now where we're sucking it down in a way that's vastly, vastly more intense than what happened, than what was happening 60 years ago. So if you tell the world that you've got this advanced space program, there's going to be a lot of questions. And think about this. You know, if a guy has an affair on his wife that lasts for a couple of weeks, that's one thing. If he has an affair on his wife that lasts for 20 years and then he's got to explain that, that's a little more difficult. So if you've got this secret of this advanced technology all these years with classified patents that have held the future of the rest of humanity hostage, which is the case, and then suddenly you say, oh, well, yeah, we've got this off-world capability, do you not think that there are going to be a lot of angry people on this planet? A lot of angry people. They're not necessarily going to all roll over with a dog-like obedience to authority and say, oh, yeah, well, whatever you say, boss. There will be people who will want to have lawsuits. There will be people who will want to do worse than that over having been lied to for years and years and having their future held basically in neutral while the rest of the secret world goes far ahead.
All right. You know, just looking at this is incredibly fascinating. And you're telling me here that the evidence you see is from, what, a whistleblower here and there who comes to you with this information?
It's information that I'll get through other researchers, but information that does come to me through people that whose acquaintance I make, who I interview and tell me about their families. And I've had quite a few of these people.
Why are you so lucky to get these people?
I don't know. They know who I am. I'm very public. I'm very sociable. I'm not like a lot of other researchers. I really don't just keep to myself. I'm out there. I'm constantly out there meeting people. I do conferences 15, 20 a year. I have a Facebook page. I've got thousands of people who follow me, and I'm active and I talk to them. I mean, I'm pressing myself into a great number of people all the time. And I'm visible. I'm well known as a researcher in this field. So people will eventually speak to me. You know, when I get a story from someone, I always have to ask myself, are they playing a game here with me? But I feel like I've gotten to know many of these people fairly well, and I don't think that's the case in most of these instances.
You don't think there are people out there who don't want you to know the secret, whatever it might be, who are not trying to use disinformation to fool you and send you stuff that maybe is fake?
I believe I've had that happen to me, for sure. For sure. But I would say the vast majority of individuals I've communicated with are not like that. No, I think most of them they have very limited information. We've got little bits and pieces here and there, and I just simply do my best to put it together.
Let me remind you, Richard, of the gentleman that you've interviewed. That was used. The footage of the interview was used at the citizen hearing on disclosure. I think he's been named now anonymous is kind of his tag. Can you tell us just a quick thumbnail sketch of how you met him? He would be a good example of somebody that you're talking about.
We're running out the clock here. Why don't you start for about 30 seconds, and we'll pick it up in our next segment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris. I like that man. I'm still troubled by the interview. The whole way it came about was not through any initiative of my own. I was actually asked explicitly by my friend Stephen Bassett, who knew about this. This man had also been cultivated by another UFO researcher named Ron Garner for many years. I was told that he was not going to live very long and he had potentially explosive information. And I was asked whether I would go up to interview this man. And so I, with a lot of hesitation, I eventually agreed to do it.
Let's talk about that interview, that meeting, in a moment with Richard Dolan and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Richard Dolan joining us with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. And he's telling us about visiting someone with a lot of fascinating and guilty knowledge to offer.
Yes, so this was a gentleman who, you know, I was told was very, very ill. Would I meet with him to do an interview? And I I eventually agreed to do it. Prior to meeting this man, he will just say he lives in northern Minnesota, really remote. I was given a lot of information about him, including his military papers, his DD-214, and a number of other things. I met his son-in-law while I was there, who really is a good guy, I think a stand-up guy who knows his father-in-law story very well. So I sat down to interview this man in a tiny little motel room in the middle of nowhere, and it's on YouTube. When I did this interview, I can just say I had no idea that it was going to be put out there so quickly on YouTube. For me, it was an exploratory type of interview. The problem that I have with this man, and I'll describe the story in a minute, is simply that to this day I have not been able to vet one way or the other what he says is true or not. I've had people write to me saying that he's full of it. Other people who say, no, I think he may be legit for a couple of reasons. A lot of people are very skeptical of him. Fundamentally, the interview was him talking about while in the Army Signal Intelligence in the late 50s, he was recruited by a gentleman who was CIA. So he did double duty working for the CIA in the late 50s, accepting UFO reports from Europe. That was his initial job. Talked about a little bit of that. I'm not sure if this is on the YouTube video. It may not be, but he remembered seeing, he said to me, a picture of a landed craft in Italy and a being near it. That was definitely an alien being, he said. Anyway, the real explosive thing of what he said to me was that at one point his boss was brought into Washington to meet President Eisenhower, and he accompanied his boss. He was a young man at the time. And supposedly Eisenhower said to them, I have tried and tried and tried and tried to get information out of what's going on with the extraterrestrial situation down near Area 51. I have not gotten anything except blown off, and I'm sending you to go in. You're going to find out what is the status of this program, and if I don't get satisfactory answers, I will invade, this is the words he used, invade Area 51 with the Army. Holy smokes. So, you know, this man's telling me this story. My eyebrows are going up into my hairline as I listen. And, you know, just from my point of view here, it you have to understand, this man, his health was so bad when I interviewed him. I actually was afraid at one point he was going to die right in front of me. He was just coughing and he was so weak. You know, I did question a lot of the things he said to me, but that didn't all make it into the YouTube video, unfortunately. But essentially what he said is they went out to Area 51. They were greeted by a local officer, and there were two other CIA people who also met, so it was five people. And they were given a tour of the base. And really what he describes is very comparable to what Bob Lazar described, you know, back in 1990 when he interviewed with George Knapp. So they saw a hangar with some craft inside there. Then they were taken, this goes beyond Lazar, he said they were taken to another area where we saw a video of an alien autopsy. And the most explosive thing he said is that we saw behind a glass a live being that was there. He said he looked Oriental. That was the language this man used. And I heard him telepathically, one sentence he said was, "We mean you no harm." That was the nuts and bolts of what this man said to me. That's out on YouTube. It's 17, 18 minutes long. I actually interviewed him for a much longer period of time than that. I've had mixed feelings about that video being out because from my point of view as a researcher, I would not want something going out connected to my name that I wasn't 100% sure of, and I'm not 100% sure. I don't think this man's lying. Don't get me wrong. I think he's an honest man. But his health was so bad. His mind was foggy, really foggy. He couldn't remember the name of, like, J. Edgar Hoover, for example. And he just wasn't firing on all cylinders, in my opinion. And was there anything that might be considered confabulation? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. So, you know, without documentary information supporting it, I was just uncomfortable with the video going out, but I didn't have control over that.
Yeah, but who put the video out?
Well, it was connected to the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure, which was organized by Stephen Bassett and produced by two very good people, Ruben Langdon and Jeremy Scoville, who, I mean, I know and I like Jeremy very much. I don't know who owns the video, but it was played at the Citizen Hearing, which was spring of 2013.
Right, and that section that was actually played was what ended up on YouTube?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. When it was aired at the citizen hearing. That was the first time I saw it. And I thought, oh, wow, I wasn't quite expecting this. So, well, there you go.
Well, I'm surprised that they didn't bounce that scenario off you before they just went ahead.
So many people decided. So crazy. It was an insane week. Everything was just crazy that week.
Okay, now, do you ever wonder here when you get these so-called late-in-life confessions or even some of those infamous deathbed confessions,
That
maybe the person who's delivering this, you know, other than the fact that memories change over the years, and if you're older and your memories aren't secure about anything, that could be part of the problem. But they're doing it to maybe give themselves a little fame and fortune at the end, or maybe they'll be able to sell their stories so that they'll have some money for their families to go on.
I guess, but what you really find is that most of these confessions are made privately to one or two people. They're really not made they're not obviously that type of a scenario. I'm really not aware of it. Corso's the one example that you could make that case, I'm thinking, but the fact is that there are just so many others that have been collected through the decades of people making such deathbed confessions to neighbors, to friends, to researchers privately. I don't think that's the case, Gene. I just think that most of these people are trying to get something off their chest.
Okay, so with Corso, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I never met Corso. I never had the chance to talk with him. He died in 1998, which was 2 years before I published my first book. Like a lot of people, I bought his book when it first came out. I got the first edition, which had the foreword by Senator Strom Thurmond, by the way, in which Strom Thurmond said, yes, Philip Corso is a great American hero. That foreword was pulled immediately once Thurmond realized that this is a UFO book. That was kind of funny. I think that, you have to look at Corso's background. He had a very good reputation within the military. He was the military liaison to a U.S. senator. He had a very strong reputation and one, as far as I can tell, for integrity. The fundamentals, well, there's so many errors in the book that, researchers had a field day just picking through the errors, fact-checking Corso's book, and the errors were legion. I heard a statement attributed to Corso from someone who knew him fairly well. And Corso, when he read the book that was co-authored by him and Bill Burns of UFO Mag, that he said, I almost don't even recognize this book. So I think the implication is that a lot was changed in that book from what Corso himself had experienced.
Do you think, Richard, in passing, that maybe these changes were made to make the book more saleable? And that's why it happened. We have more and Richard's answer in a moment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 500-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Richard Dolan. Of course, his new book is entitled UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, A Fresh Guide to an Ancient Mystery. And we're going to get more hot and heavy into that in a moment, but we've got so many subjects on the table, we'll never finish all of them. So let's just ask about Philip Corso.
Yeah.
A Day After Roswell, co-authored with Bill Burns. And Corso didn't recognize that book. Do I assume then that it was enhanced, fictionalized, whatever, to sell more books? Is that what happened?
Yes, absolutely. I chatted with Bill Burns about this on one occasion face-to-face after he and I, we'd had words, not directly, but in different programs. In fact, it might have been on your program that Bill might have said this. I can't remember where he was, but I had stated this years ago that I thought the book was essentially, the book made Corso's testimony useless for all time because there's so many mistakes in it that he was forever discredited. And Bill, you know, he said to me, look, you got to understand, this was for a major publishing contract. It had to be after the 50th anniversary of Roswell. We were under deadlines. And it is true, Corso's initial manuscript was just almost unreadable. You know, it might have been useful for specific researchers to go through it, but it would not have been readable as a book. So it was Burns' job. He's a writer to go through that and to make it into a readable book. As a publisher and editor myself, I realize how difficult that is. You can get some pretty bad manuscripts. And in his case, undoubtedly, he rushed. In his case, undoubtedly, there were mistakes that got into the book.
And just for our listeners and the readers of the original book, Day After Roswell, Open Minds has made that original manuscript available, by the way.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good point, Chris. Excellent. So anyway, I think that with the book that came out, it was, people had a field day on Corso. I think that there's probably something to it. I don't believe that Corso, you know, that his was the only group that segued acquired technology out to industry. I think his was probably just one group of several. Because he's doing this in 1960. You know, it's kind of late in the day.
All right, let's go back to a subject we hit before, which is the crash retrievals, because you have a chapter in your book about this. And that is, if we have this hardware on ice and we're dealing with several generations of employees who work at these companies and have access to this material, why hasn't more come forth about the actual study of the hardware? It's not, well, what people saw or remember what their relatives saw over at Roswell, and I have quibbles about Aztec we'll get into in a moment, but what about direct information on what we recovered?
Well, actually, there was some very, very detailed testimony. A lot of people love to dismiss this, but I'm not so quick to dismiss it, that Linda Moulton Howe has talked about, the so-called Isaac testimony, which has to do with Silicon Valley, early 1980s, and deep-level, deeply classified program to study what appeared to be alien technology. And it was actually a very explicit amount of testimony. The fact that it's out and people don't want to accept it, you know, that's one thing. I actually don't think that that's as – I don't think that's fake. A lot of people did. One of your former co-hosts, Gene, tried to say that the images that were put out during that whole thing were CGI. I'm not really persuaded of that either, but certainly the testimony, there has been some that has come out detailing the nature of the kind of scientific work. And the other source is what Bob Wood has talked about for years and years, Dr. Robert Wood, the Majestic documents, which if you were to print them all out, it would be almost 2 inches thick. It's a lot of these. It's not just 7-8 pages of Majestic 12 documents. This is a large number of documents that are not from photographic negatives either. They're actual paper that's been date tested and so on, that actually do put a story together of the attempts to study and attempt to replicate some of this technology.
Since you raised that point, MJ-12 is an ongoing controversy. Stanton Friedman accepts the reality, but there have been recent public discussions, for example, involving Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, where he doesn't believe it for a moment.
He said this for 25 years.
That's right.
He's sung the same tune for that.
That's right, and Kevin Randall has been singing the same tune also, in harmony.
Right.
So what is your take of that? Do you think that it's too obvious, MJ-12? Or maybe there are other documents that are authentic and MJ-12 was part of the disinformation?
No, I think when you're talking about classified documents, you're not talking, you know, a classified document is not an infallible document. It's just a document that's classified. And it could be documents in the classified world that go through different stages of editorial review. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here. I don't agree with Randall or Hastings on this matter. I think they've been wrong, and I think they've been wrongheaded for years. I think Stanton is more right than wrong on the matter. I think that, I was terrified for years of those initial majestic documents. I'm not talking about the initial MJ-12. I'm talking about the ones that came from the attic of Tim Cooper, who himself was well connected with the U.S. defense establishment through his father, and that had been analyzed and analyzed and analyzed again and again by Ryan and Bob Wood, that I think overall show a high degree of credibility. And again, if you stack those documents up, it's an inch and a half, almost 2 inches high. There's a lot of them. If you read through them chronologically, you're going to be very hard-pressed. If you want to see them as a hoax, you have to ask yourself, who is hoaxing this? It's not one guy with an IQ of 250 out of someone's basement, because that's the IQ you'd have to hoax all of those by yourself.
So it's not just Richard Doty in his basement?
Of course not. Not even close. Not a chance. The sophistication, the complexity, the span of information. I mean, if this is a hoax, you're talking about a large team of PhDs to hoax it, with real expertise in document creation, with real expertise in any number of scientific fields and historical realities. So if that's the case, if they are a hoax, that in itself, it seems to me, almost attests to the reality of UFOs, because you have to ask yourself, who are they hoaxing this for? Guys like me? Researchers like Stanton Friedman? Really? Were that important that you would create an entire expensive team of PhDs to make this an unbelievable cache of documents? Well, why would you do that? Or would it be for the Russians? Well, if it's for the Russians, to what end? You know, you can't – disinformation is not the same as lies. Because if it was all lies, that would be the easiest thing to dismiss. So disinformation has to have truth in there for it to be credible. So if you're going to have disinformation for the Russians, then it has to be something like, if you're going to have UFO-oriented information that's disinfo for the Russians, then implicitly you're recognizing that the Russians believe in UFOs, because otherwise it wouldn't be credible as disinfo. So in other words, however you look at these majestic documents, this is why I have a hard time with people like Hastings and Randall, because it's like you have the subtlety of a 10-year-old. They see the world in black and white. The world is not that simple. The world is not like a 10-year-old child sees it, where it's just like either one thing or another. There are shades of gray throughout our lives and our reality. If this is disinformation, it's important. And it's still, in other words, it's still worthy of our attention, and there's still something very significant about these documents. For Hastings to say, as he's done since the late 1980s, oh, yeah, Bill Moore passed himself off as an intelligence officer, and Bill Moore seems to be lying about this, and Bill Moore made this crazy confession back in 1989, throw the whole thing out. To me, that's silly. To me, that's a lack of subtlety. It's a lack of sophistication.
Let's look more into this and the implications, but I want to go back to one thing about crash retrievals. Now, with Roswell, we have lots of firsthand remembrances of things that happened. We can argue about the cause. We can say, okay, it was a spaceship, it was a test aircraft or something. Maybe it was the Mogul balloons. And there are various reasons to say one or the other is correct. So that's the point.
Mogul?
Really? Well, we're arguing the cause of a real event that we know something happened.
Okay.
And then we can talk about the different causes and the value of each cause. We'll go for that. With Aztec, there may be another problem, which I'll get into in a moment. We have Richard Dolan. This book that he has out is called UFOs for the 21st Century Mind. And we'll get into a little bit in our next segment about the goals, what he's trying to accomplish with it, because we're talking about the contents very much now. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast. Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Aztec, New Mexico, 1948. Possible crash of a spaceship. Richard Dolan joins us. Now, we should tell you about the background of the Paracast when it comes to Aztec. We've had Scott Ramsey and Frank Warren talking about the subject several times. We had a debate, quote-unquote, with Scott Ramsey and Kevin Randall about Aztec. What bothers me about Aztec is, you know, with something like Roswell, everyone knows something happened. With Aztec, it's very hard to find anyone who thinks they remember that something happened. And the biggest presentation of Aztec is, of course, Frank Scully's book. And we can argue back and forth about the reputation of the two scientists from which he got the information, G. Bauer and Newton. We know there's a lot of controversy about that, but we don't have as much ironclad evidence of an event. It's either a few people who knew somebody and not much more. And I read your comments on it, and I think that Ramsey in his book on the subject did probably the best he could in trying to present a case in favor of Aztec. But don't you think it's really lacking compared to anything like Roswell?
Well, it's not as strong a case as Roswell, for sure. I completely agree with that, Gene. But yes, I think it's important to mention this in context with Aztec. Aztec was the first UFO crash that got a lot of ink in terms of a book treatment. Frank Scully, back in 1950, wrote about it. Within a couple of years, Scully's book was ripped to pieces by a journalist named J.P. Kahn. Ever since then, the Aztec case was just, everyone ran away from it and said, oh, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. But what Scott Ramsey points out, this is really important, is that J.P. Kahn's entire motivation for going after Scully had nothing to do with intellectual integrity. It had everything to do with personal jealousy. And he was out to get Scully and, in fact, wanted to write the book with Scully. Like, he was into it. He got really into the case. And when Scully basically said, you know, the hell with you, I don't need you, Kahn went this other route. And Scott and his wife, Suzanne Ramsey, really laid this out very, very well in their excellent book. Now, that doesn't prove that the Aztec crash itself was an alien crash, but it does give you pause to make, well, wait, if the accusation of hoax was itself motivated out of, you know, motives that were not intellectually pure, then what was the case? And I think he put together something that is suggestive that something extraordinary did happen at Aztec. The case is never going to be as strong as the Roswell case, no question about it. But I think that it's a real possibility at this point.
I think what we really need here is some more direct information. Like, for example, Kevin Randall had a piece, a couple of part articles over at a different perspective, his blog, from an engineer who lived an Aztec and I guess was aware of the claims. And he said nobody remembers anything ever happening then. And the argument in that
point. No, that's 60-plus years ago.
Sure, but you're talking here about a small town, tiny town. Something really incredible happens a few miles nearby, and none of the local populace knows anything about it. Nobody's talking about it.
Think about the way the town. See, this is. I'm really glad you mentioned this because this just shows a very short-sightedness of thinking here. You've got a tiny town, admittedly, yes, and that's part of the thing about it. This is. There's no internet. Very few. Probably no one had their own telephone. I mean, much less internet. And if you have a recovery that takes place a few miles outside of town that is sealed off and amid a very patriotic population, this is right after World War II, and if the army says jump, you say how high. I could easily see this thing dying within a couple of years, maybe a few people talking about it right away, and then just a whole lot of nothing. That's the easiest thing for me to see.
But so then you do see then, Richard, that if there wasn't a Frank Scully book, nobody would ever know about this case.
Yeah, it would have gone away. Well, the same with Roswell. You know, had Stan Friedman not bumped into Jesse Marcel in New Orleans back in the late 70s, Roswell's story had a little more legs to it. You know, it had the news article, and there were people in the town talking about it quietly. But they would have all died off, and the story itself would have died off, and that would have been the end of it. And one thing that Scott Ramsey did find at Hard Canyon was the I'm trying to remember that it was a concrete slab that was used at the crash site that is suggestive and that it seemed to be there to support a crane that was there to remove the craft. I mean, there's actually something to go on here. And again, I agree with you in the sense that this is not as strong a case as Roswell, probably never will be. But I think the initial dismissal that lasted for generations, you know, this reflexive fear of, like, no one wants to be associated with a hoax. I think we have to rethink that, and I don't think that that's really a smart way to look at this case.
Okay. Now, that concrete slab, I don't know, that might be stretching it because there could be other things it wanted to drag. Regardless, how, at this point, do we ever do anything more in getting information about Aztec? Unless there's somebody's diary somewhere, somebody's surreptitious photograph, somebody who really has something direct.
Probably nothing. Probably the case is just going to sit where it is. I think it's gone probably as far as it can. I did get a statement a number of years ago. I had a conversation with William Steinman, who wrote an earlier book on Aztec back in the 80s. Not anywhere nearly as strong as what Scott and Suzanne Ramsey did. Not even close. But Steinman told me personally that when he was investigating the Aztec case, he had a conversation with Bill Moore, who you know, as we now know, was talking with U.S. intelligence, was running some disinformation, at least on a limited scale, maybe a larger scale, but at least on some scale. And when Steinman told Moore that he was that, you know, the Aztec crash was a real thing, Moore said, "Oh no, you're not going to write that." And Steinman said, "What? What are you talking about? I'm not going to write that." "Yes, of course I'm going to write that. It was a real event. It was a real thing. It was the ET." Moore said, "No, you're not." And Steinman said to me that at that point he asked Moore, "Who are you? Who are you working for?" And Moore told him, "I have always worked for CIA. There's never been a time in which I have not worked for the CIA. And you are not going to say that the Aztec crash happened." And Steinman basically said, "Up yours," and he ended up writing his book anyway. But that's a story that Bill Steinman said to me directly.
Now, did Moore ever give a reason? Other than saying, "I'm with CIA and don't do it," did he give any reason why Steinman shouldn't write about it?
Bill Steinman didn't tell me anything more than that. I shared this story, by the way, with Linda Moulton Howe. Steinman had said almost the exact same thing to her as well. So he told Linda and myself. But I don't know anything more about why that would be the case.
So weird. So anyway, we've covering the periphery of your book, mentioning things in it. Overall, what are you trying to do with UFOs for the 21st century mind? And I ask that in the context of the fact that, of course, you wrote those two volumes of UFOs in the national security state going through 1991. We assumed there would be a 1991 towards 2000, whatever version eventually. Was this a detour or what?
A little bit of a detour. It's there certainly will be a third volume of the National Security State series. This is a different kind of a book. A couple of years ago, I was asked by kind of an online university at the time if I would do an introduction to UFOs type of a course. And I thought about it. And I agreed to do it. It would be 12 lectures, an hour long each, on my choice, however I wanted to, whatever I felt was important about the UFO phenomenon. And I thought, this is a nice opportunity, and when I'm done with this, I'm going to turn it into a book, and this is the book. So this is my attempt to do a true, sophisticated overview of the entire crazy, amazing, fascinating subject of UFOs, everything that I feel is important about it. So there's a great deal of history from ancient aliens right up till today, sightings that I consider to be important. I try to document that as well as I can, but there's much more. There's a lot of philosophy in this. In other words, what is it that constitutes a UFO, particularly in our era of drones and YouTube and, Adobe, Photoshop and so forth? But there's much more than that. There's several chapters that deal with the politics and my attempt to go deep with that politics, trying to understand how does a cover-up work, my current thoughts on that whole thing. But then there's much more than that. There's the science, the crazy science of this phenomenon. It doesn't seem to make sense, except that it actually does make sense when you look at contemporary developments in science, everything from propulsion to space-time to string theory to consciousness itself. And then there's a whole part of this, a theme of this book, which is my own attempt to kind of come to terms with and confront the infiltration, you might say, or the influence of New Age thought, New Age culture into the UFO culture. And what does that actually mean? Is that good? Is that bad? Is that helpful? Is that not helpful? And then there's a chapter that, looks ahead at disclosure. I mean, I've written about this elsewhere, but current thoughts. There's another chapter that just deals with the social implications of this phenomenon. And of course, that is looking at this in an era of copy and paste rumors on Facebook and YouTube and so forth. And, of course, several chapters dealing with contact itself and what's up with that. What does that mean?
To ask about the contact aspect and the abductions aspect in our next segment. We'll go more into this. Richard Dolan with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.